Church, if you've got your Bibles, I want you to go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are going to be reading verses 16 through 21 this morning, and Michael Thorne is going to be coming up and reading for us. If you would please stand with me out of respect for God's word as we come to it this morning. Michael?
Good morning. Listen to God's holy word. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Praise God for his holy word.
Amen. Pastor. Father, we thank you for this word. It's your word, and it's something we need to be reminded of. I believe every single day that we are ambassadors. We've been given a purpose. We've been given a duty. We've been given a beautiful ministry in which to participate in because you've made us new creations. Lord, I want to pray this morning that as we talk through this text, Lord, that my words would not be what we rely upon, but Father, that we would be anchored in the truth of your word, your revelation. Father, that we would be a people of truth, anchored to what you say is true about us. And what you have called us to. Father, I want to pray that you would be glorified. I pray, Lord, that as we come to your word, that we would sit underneath your word, to be submitted to it, to hear it, and to seek to apply it and live it out in our lives, day in and day out. Lord, I pray that you would use it to encourage our hearts, to challenge our hearts, to convict our hearts. Father, for those that are not reconciled to you, may you draw them to yourself this morning. Father, may they hear even the appeal to being reconciled, the beauty of the gospel in this day. And so, Lord, we give you this time and we ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Church, you may be seated. So, jump to this text, and in our pursuit to kind of talk through and think through this whole idea of now to forevermore, which is kind of the sermon series title that we've engaged in, and really what the whole point is to help anchor us and to root us into the understanding of eternity, to root us in the understanding of all that God is doing throughout history, and that for us, as represented by this little piece of blue tape, we have been given a small, very infinitesimally small, a point in time in which God has put us to live our lives. And the real question is, for this time, whether that's 25 years, 30 years, 80 years, 94 years like Dan or many more, regardless of how much time, the ultimate question is for us, how do we live in that? And I think this is such an important question for us to engage as we enter into 2021, but really as we just even think about being believers in Jesus Christ and what it looks like in our lives. And so Paul comes to the Corinthian church and he begins to communicate to them an identity. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to be talking specifically about the identity of what it is for us to be ambassadors. Now, I think a lot of us have some idea of what an ambassador is. I mean, we think about political ambassadors. Think about someone like George Bush in the Nixon era, who was ambassador to China during those days. You know, he is an ambassador to go to a foreign country. He's there to represent the cause. He's there to represent the intent and the values and the desires of a nation to another nation. He is an ambassador. He speaks on behalf of America in that type of circumstance. We also think of maybe an ambassador for a particular cause. Right? I think of someone like Angelina Jolie, who was the UN ambassador to, or the ambassador to the UN for refugees. This is someone who just took on this cause, and that cause became her cause. And here's the point: as you think about an ambassador, whether a political ambassador or a cause ambassador, it's that their lives are then ordered by another cause besides their own. It's directed by another cause. They don't speak for themselves. They don't live a life that is only for themselves or do something that might damage the country in which they're representing or the cause in which they're representing, because they recognize they're ambassadors for these things. And so for us, as we consider as believers in Jesus Christ how to live gospel lives in these tiny moments of time that we have been given and that God has graced us with, how do we live as ambassadors? Or we are to become ambassadors for his country, for his name, for his cause. And here's the thing. What this text reminds us is this isn't an optional thing that we can just take upon ourselves. This is part of our identity. It's part of our nature. It's what God has made us to be as he's made us new creations. This is what he's given. This is the mantle that he's given every single one of us in this room who has been made a new creation for Jesus Christ. Now, we are to be living ambassadors. Living ambassadors. Now, the reason why I frame it that way is because I think sometimes we think, well, okay, I'm just an ambassador, which means I'm just going to go about doing my normal life, and I'll just kind of be a passive ambassador. Imagine what that would have looked like if George Bush, who was an ambassador to China, had done it that way. Like if he would have just been a passive ambassador, where he would just maybe continue to say, well, I'm an ambassador for the United States, but continued to live here in the United States. Like that's a pretty bad ambassador. Like, but that's not what an ambassador does. An ambassador lives life for that cause. They live life to represent the nation or the cause in which they are called to represent. It would have been a terrible ambassador had he represented China's values or China's culture or China's political intent. That's not what an ambassador does. So we are to be living ambassadors, people who are living vastly different from the world's lives, ones that represent the kingdom of our King, not this world. We've been made representatives of another country. We've been given a name. We've been given a mantle of an ambassador. And I really do think that for us, at least I know for myself, and this is a really easy thing to forget. Something that we have to be reminded of all the time. I know I certainly do. I need to be reminded that the things that I do in my day-to-day life always should be wrapped up in this mission and purpose that I have been given. Every single one of them. This is the thing that takes priority. This is the most important thing that I represent. This is the cause that's most important. And it's not my cause, it's his cause. Going to the grocery store should be wrapped in my being a representative for his cause, his heart, his name. Going to the movies, clicking on the internet, spending our money, creating art, going to work, making music, dating, being fathers, being mothers, being single. All of these things that we live and do should be encased in this identity that you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Living in a foreign land, and we'll talk more about what that looks like as we go on, but everything is encased. And here's what's beautiful about this, is that in this amount of time that God has given to you, here's what it means, that nothing in your life and my life is pointless. Nothing. You are not purposeless. You have been given a purpose. Now, everything you do, good, difficult, hard work, everything has been infused with a gospel purpose. It's been infused with the purpose of a King. And so nothing that we engage in this year will be purposeless if we understand who we are to be in this world as ambassadors. So, what are we specifically ambassadors for? How can we not only be reminded of this call, but how can we actually live it out? We need to know what our role is, right? So here's what we're ambassadors. There's several things that we are actually ambassadors for. The first thing is this. We are ambassadors of reconciliation. Look to verse 18 in 2 Corinthians 5. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are the us. You have been given a ministry of reconciliation. We have all been given a ministry of reconciliation. All of us have been given a ministry of reconciliation. And so this has several implications for us. One is that it's your ministry. You don't have to become a pastor to have a ministry. Everybody who's been made a new creation in Jesus Christ has been given a ministry. Your ministry, my ministry, is to live in and among an unreconciled people, an unreconciled world, an unreconciled nation. Like we have been reconciled. And now we have been given that same ministry. And so you're all ministers to that. And so when you go to the grocery store, when you seek to parent your kids, when you serve in the parent-teacher conferences, whatever you do and however you do it, you have a ministry in that place. Because you're rubbing up against people who have not been reconciled to the Lord. The second implication is this, that we are to live as a reconciled person to God. I mean, think, well, okay, that's easy. But I don't think it actually is. You know, in our culture, we have a term for people that's used all the time when they get a divorce. They tend to file irreconcilable differences. I don't know if you've ever thought about what that term means. It basically means this, that we can't get along anymore. Like, there's no hope for this. Like, I don't need to talk to this person anymore. I don't need to engage this person anymore. I don't need to die to myself for the sake of this person anymore. And so if you have irreconcilable differences, it means that you aren't together. You're not reconciled with together. There's a separation. There's a distance between us. Now, most of us would all recognize, and most of us would see that at one point in our lives, we had irreconcilable differences with God. Or what seem to be irreconcilable differences with God. And I think a lot of times that we are so grateful that we have been reconciled to God, but here's the thing, do we really live like we've been reconciled? Practically speaking, do people look at our lives and see the effects of a reconciled life? Or do we still look like we have irreconcilable differences? Do we have a life that bears the name of the one primary relationship in our lives? Which leads us then to the third implication. If we have been reconciled, we must also be reconcilers. Like, that's hard, isn't it? Like, in this world, don't we need peacemakers? Don't we need reconcilers? Don't we need people who recognize that they have been reconciled to God, and out of that joy and out of that reality, they then want to bring that into the life of this world? So not only between us and the people that live around us, but also when we see people that have irreconcilable differences, to try to step in and bring the hope of the gospel into those spaces, our world desperately needs this, amen? Like, instead, we tend to fight each other. You don't agree with me? I'm going to push you away. You don't agree with me? I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to put my fingers in my ears, and I'm going to scream louder than you're screaming at me. Like, this is the world in which we live, and the gospel has called us as part of this ministry of reconciliation. If we're going to be ambassadors of this, we need to be reconcilers. We don't like that. Remember a couple weeks ago, Sean preached a message, a great message about loving our enemies. I don't know if you remember that. That was a hard message. And I love listening to that, and it was such a challenge even to me as I was sitting here listening to Sean. And it was funny because I was actually laughing to him. I actually texted him like 2 hours after the service ended, and I said, thanks a lot for preaching a sermon that I'm having to practice right now. And here's why, and you're going to think it's super silly, but yet nonetheless, I think it illustrates the point. I took my family to Brahms afterwards. So we went through the drive-thru, we ordered our food, we pull up, realize they didn't give us our french fries. So I had to drive back around, terribly inconvenienced, I know. Drive back around, go through the drive-thru, reorder the french fries. Then I'm standing there I'm in my car, and I hand my card out to this girl, and she drops my card into a nasty puddle next to a cigarette butt. So I have to get out of the car, get it out. And you think, man, that's such a small thing. But I'm telling you, when you're inconvenienced, like my intent, my desire, my natural feel is to push away from that person. Right? To like push them away, to be frustrated, to be angry. And what God has said is to lean into that, to love them, to care for them, and to recognize, man, maybe her day is worse than mine. And this is an opportunity for me to practice being a reconciler, to make sure that we, even though I don't know this person, to make sure that I can be an example of Jesus Christ in her life. In that moment, in something that's super small, because I guarantee you, there's some people that if they dropped their card into a puddle, they would have let them have it. May we not be that person. May we be reconciling people. So that's the question. Are you a reconciler? In all of these things, ministry of reconciliation, a reconciled people, being reconcilers, are we seeking to lay ourselves down for these causes as ambassadors? To lay our rights down, to lay ourselves down. And so we're to be ambassadors for this. But there's something more. We're also to be, what Paul tells us, is proclaimers of the gospel. That's what you're an ambassador for. In Ephesians, he puts it this way, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. Pray for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. I put this as the second one because here's the thing, even though it's similar to the idea of just being an ambassador, if you're an ambassador who never opens your mouth, you're useless. Aren't we? Again, think about George Bush going to China. If he just lived in China and went to all the meetings but never proclaimed the interests of the United States, he's a useless ambassador. Brothers and sisters, it is really easy for us to want to be ambassadors with our actions and never say a word. We have been called to be proclaimers of the gospel. We have been called to speak the gospel, to share the gospel. That's terrifying. And yet that's our call. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how where you come from. Like, you've been called to be an ambassador to proclaim the good news of the gospel. This isn't only for the evangelist. This is for all of us. And you may do it in your unique way, but we are all called to be the proclaimers of the good news. How will they hear if no one ever speaks in church? It is a great temptation to never speak the good news, because it's always uncomfortable. It's always uncomfortable. Here's what I want to encourage us. Imagine if every single one of us in this room made a New Year's resolution to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ in its entirety to one person this year. Just one. I don't know what our numbers are right here, but I'm just going to guess. Let's just imagine that every single one of us is rejected except for 5%. You know, that's 40 people who come to faith in Jesus Christ. 40 people. So what if 95 of them reject us? That 5% wouldn't come to know Jesus if we don't proclaim the name of Jesus. And so this is the calling that God has given us. He said, be ambassadors, be proclaimers of the good news. Don't just sit upon these things, but go out and be ambassadors. So we take up the ministry of reconciliation, and we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And thirdly, we recognize that we bear his name. This is the call upon Israel. This is a call upon us. Colossians 3:17 says this, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. By his goodness, Jesus has branded us as his. The biblical word is sealed. He has given us his name. His name is upon us. We bear his name. And we are called to bear his name in everything we do. Just like an ambassador, everything you do reflects upon the one you represent. Think about what happens if a political ambassador takes that lightly. They won't be listened to. They'll be ignored. We've been ambassadors. And this is where things become really down into the day-to-day for us. We're to make dinner as if it reflects on him. You ever think about that? Like, you're to make dinner as if it reflects upon him. You are to parent as if it reflects upon him. You are to worship as if it reflects upon him. In other words, your view of how often you come to church reflects upon him. And how important that is reflects upon him. You're to love as if it reflects upon him. You're to date as if it reflects upon him. You're to go to school and do your schoolwork as if it reflects upon him. You're to sing when we gather together as the people of God, as if it reflects upon him. You are to watch things as if it reflects upon him, because it does. That's not a theory, and you don't get to choose whether it reflects upon him. So if you lose your cool in the grocery store, you reflect it upon Jesus. And sadly enough, it's because so many of us in our lives have poorly reflected Jesus that some who don't know Jesus say, see, that's why I don't like this. We're to be ambassadors in everything we do. And it's to reflect him in everything we do. As we discussed last week, his loves should become our loves. His values should become our values. My fear is, though, that we still have the values of the old world. And we still carry the values of the old creation. Instead of let those pass away, like Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians, they should. Those should pass away. Again, think of an ambassador. If George Bush goes to China and he reflects the loves of China, the cares of China, the interests of China, what good is he doing? He's not a good ambassador. Let me ask a question. Do your Christian values conflict with the cultural values? If they don't, if there is not conflict, you should be very concerned. His country is different. And when an ambassador goes into another country, it generates conflict because the interests of this country and the interests of this country are not the same. And so if the Church of Christ is living in this world with the vacuum of conflict, in other words, there's no conflict and we're just comfortable and everything is great and everybody loves us and nobody's upset with us and nobody's claiming hate speech against us, we're not being good ambassadors. Because it naturally is going to create conflict. You should deal with conflict every day when you turn the TV on. You should deal with conflict every day when the world says this is how you should love your spouse. You should deal with conflict every single day. Every time the world says this is how you should view sexuality or money. Because our interests are not the world's interests. If there's not conflict, something is seriously wrong. As we think about being ambassadors in 2021, listen, I don't want to sugarcoat it. It's hard. It's difficult. It's going to be one hard thing after the next hard thing, not only in your own personal individual life, but in as you walk in life, as you engage in business, as you do your job and your work out there in the world, conflict is going to come. Brothers and sisters, your reward, your honor isn't here. It's when you get home. That's when conflict goes away for us. That's when conflict goes away. And if there isn't conflict in our lives, we're not representing him well. I'm not saying you go out there and look for it. Trust me, you don't have to. All you have to do is uphold like one sentence of the Word of God and conflict is going to come. Like, that is just the reality. Please don't go out there and be like, all right, we're going to generate conflict. Nope, don't need to do that. It's going to come naturally. All we need to be is faithful. And then be reminded that this isn't an easy thing, and it's not part of just living a comfortable Christian life. We've been called into a kingdom adventure. Remember the voyage of the Dawn Treader? I talked about that a few weeks ago. And the kingdom of God, it looks beautiful while you're watching it from a distance, but it's even more beautiful when you step in. And when you begin to become what God has called you to be, and God begins to be faithful in all of the promises of your life as he calls you to live that faithful life. I want to just speak real quickly. Young people, don't live your life for the world. Jesus' kingdom is so much better. And while this world will fall apart, his will never stop increasing. Don't live for this world. You should be most zealous. You should be the most zealous nationalist for his kingdom of anybody out there, spending your zeal and your energy, for his kingdom, not just yours. With his national interests, with his national causes, with his national urgency to save those who don't know him. To spend your finances with the national intent, to pray with brothers and sisters with national direction. And it isn't just for the young people, that's for all of us. Church, let us live 2021 with a sense of purpose as ambassadors who are called into the story of his kingdom. Amen? So how? Very specifically, here's where the rubber meets the road for us. Where does it start? You know where it starts? It starts in the unspectacular, the mundane, the day-to-day. We've talked about it before, but I think it's important for us to be reminded of. The adventure of the kingdom of God doesn't have to be lived in another country. It doesn't have to be lived by doing huge things or becoming a pastor or something of that nature. It's lived in the unspectacular. It starts in the schools. It starts in your homework. It starts in your homes. It starts in the parent-teacher meetings. It starts in the coffee shop. It starts in the groceries. It starts in the most unspectacular of things in our lives. Listen, we love the miracles of the Word of God, amen? But sometimes when we're reading through the pages of this book, and we're reading through the pages of the revealed Word of God, and we see things like the fire of God coming down on Mount Sinai, and the Red Sea splitting, and water coming out of rocks, and manna coming down from heaven, we think that happens every day. And you get like one page in the Word that represents 40 years of walking in a wilderness where there isn't massive things happening every day, where men and women wake up in the morning, have to get food to provide for their families, and then go to bed. Like, that's where it starts. I mean, it starts in the unspectacular parts of our lives. Yes, God does mighty things, and yes, God does amazing things, but brothers and sisters, we are called to live sometimes in the unspectacular. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says this, "Aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you." It's a good reminder, isn't it? In the unspectacular, church, be faithful in the unspectacular. What if we became content to just faithful, obedient, living in the most unspectacular of ways, but our mission is as ambassadors? See, I think we have this desire to be great, to climb the ladder, to be the one who does the bold thing, to be the pastor of the big mega church. Those are temptations that even is in within the pastor. I love this quote by Chad Bird. He says, "Stand out." Doesn't the world want to stand out? On Instagram and Facebook, like, we want to stand out, but listen to what he says. "Stand out by wearing the camouflage of humility. Dream big about living small. In other words, make it your ambition not to let personal glory bedazzle your bio, guide your relationships, declare your importance, or lead you in discerning where God is to be found." What an important reminder for us. God is found right there next to you doing the dishes. And we forget it. Be faithful in the unspectacular. I believe that the things that we've been talking about today can help us to have an idea of how to live as ambassadors in the midst of that, to bear his name, to proclaim the gospel, to be ministers of reconciliation as we go about our lives running and bumping up against people who are unreconciled. But I think here's the reality for us. A huge danger of our freedom is that we forget our place of need and dependence upon God. I remember when I was asked by a missionary to bring in a bunch of Bibles and gospel materials into a primarily Muslim country. I was terrified. And I knew that I needed to abide in the Lord. And I prayed every step of the way through customs, sweating bullets. God, please help them not see what I have in my suitcase. Because I knew there was danger there. I knew it. But here's the thing. I was abiding because I knew I needed to. And because I knew in that moment I was dependent upon here. And the truth of the matter is, can we just be honest? It doesn't feel scary in Dylan's, does it? Like, unless you're fighting for toilet paper in COVID days. Maybe it was scary then. But here's the thing, if we can just be honest and confess it, like, Dylan's isn't scary. Like, it's not. Like, you go in, you get your food, and you leave. But maybe it should be. Because what would happen if we started to approach going into Dylan's and saying, God, I'm yours to do whatever you tell me to do in Dylan's. To speak the gospel in Dylan's. To pray in Dylan's with someone out loud. I know that's terrifying. Suddenly our need to abide in Jesus would grow exponentially, wouldn't it? See, it's not scary because we haven't made it scary. Because we don't see it as a battleground. We don't see it as our mission. And so we just go in and do our business like everybody else and leave. But brothers and sisters, you've been called into it. Make it a battleground. Then it becomes scary. And then you need to depend on the Lord and you need to abide in him. And I believe that if we abide in Christ, then he will bear fruit through his people. Amen? So two tools I want to lead us to, one of which you already know, that I think is important for us in this year. The first tool is our prayer guide. 52 weeks of prayer guide. Maybe you don't know how to pray in your family. Maybe you don't know what to pray for. This is what we've put together for you. Go pick one up. Get it as a PDF through our app. This is a super easy way to simply be in the Word of God praying. You know, this week, we are to be praying for justice and for those who are marginalized. Here's the beauty of it. While you're abiding in the Lord and praying for that, then he might actually lay something on your heart to do. So do this as a family. It's a great opportunity. And everything starts with prayer, amen? Like, if you're weak at it, great. And by the way, you can pray more than once a week. Please do. But we wanted to give you one thing to do as the church. So grab those at Info Central. The second challenge would be to walk through what we call a Discovery Bible Study in your home. So out in the lobby in the Info Central, you can pick up one of these. So here's the challenge that I would make. I know that as a dad, a lot of times and not knowing where to go is the challenge for me. Like, what do I walk my kids through? How do I do this on a day-to-day basis? How do I do this with my spouse? How do I do this with my friends? This is how you do it. We're just giving you 23 texts of scripture to walk through over the next 23 weeks. Maybe it's 24, maybe it's 25. If you miss one, God's not going to smite you. But this is one way you can begin to get in the Word of God. And it takes you from Genesis to Revelation systematically. Listen, this is a great tool for you to take into the life of somebody who doesn't know Jesus and say, hey, would you like to study the Bible with me? And then you just walk them through the gospel. It's got on there, you can see up here, it's got the passages, it's got the main topic of the passages, and then it talks about praying and discussion and reflection. Do this with your families. Do this with your spouse. Do it with your friends. Do it alone. But go to the Word of God. Be in the Word of God. I'm going to speak to fathers for just a second. Soapbox, step aside. Dads, what would happen if the church said, we're not teaching your kids anymore? Would you just leave and go to another church? Or would you say, okay, I'm already doing it with my kids anyway? Because that's what your answer should be. That's what your answer should be. Like, it is not Central Christian's Church job to teach our kids. It's yours. You are the first line of defense, fathers. You are the first line of defense. You are the first line of offense. If you want to take back the influence in your kids' lives, sit with them. Walk with them through the Word of God. Let them see you wrestle with it. Struggle to obey it. Like, you do it. Don't be mad at the church because they're not doing good enough. Like, we get like an hour, maybe. You have every day. It's your job. Deuteronomy says you are to walk with your kids, not the church. We're there to support you and to love you and to care for you and to come alongside of you. It's an either or it's a both and, not an either or. Dads, take this tool. If you've never done it before and you don't know how to do it, use it. Use it with your kids day in and day out over the next 23 weeks. I know that's a hard encouragement, but we need it so bad. We're losing these generations. And it starts in our homes. So take these two things. I want to close with this. As we live in kind of the unspectacular and the mundane, the intent of ambassadors, this helps us to abide in him, but I don't want to miss that he might actually call you to something bold too. Like, yeah, we love the unspectacular, but what if he called you to do something bold? Would you do it? I love the stories that we read in the scriptures, but so often we forget that the bold is what comes out of the unspectacular. Think of Daniel. He didn't just jump in the lion's den. He got put in the lion's den and had to do something bold for God because he was praying every day in front of a window. How much more unspectacular can we get? Although I think in our day and age, it's pretty unspectacular, or that's pretty spectacular. But just by doing that, God led him to something bold. I just finished a book about a guy who went and served the country of Somalia in the 90s at the height of the unrest in Somalia. He didn't just go, oh, thanks, Jesus, for saving me from my sins. I'm going to Somalia. It started in the day-to-day. And then the Lord, as he abided in the Lord, day after day after day, the Lord called him into the bold. Church, brothers and sisters, will you be willing to step into the bold if he calls you to? Not just the unspectacular. Man, we have been saved to such a wonderful story. And I think it's so easy for us to just get stuck in the mundane and never ask the Lord, God, would you have something bold for me? Would you ask me to boldly bring a child into my home like we talked about last week? Would you actually boldly call me to stand up in front of a synod and give a speech and be faithful to the truth of God like Patrick did this week? Would you be bold to proclaim pro-life and the love of that God has for kids when people would malign you for it? Would you be bold to just share your faith? Listen, this is for all of us, and I need that encouragement every day because there's a lot of opportunities I miss because I'm scared. But I think that God calls us to be bold, doesn't he? He calls us to be ambassadors, and ambassadors have to be bold at times. They have to be bold. And they have to be connected to the Spirit of God that he might lead them. And so, church, that is the encouragement for us in 2021. And so here's what I want to call you to. What specific steps are you going to take to abide more deeply in Jesus Christ as we walk out of here? Talk about these things as a family. Dads, if you want to step into doing these devotions, tell your wife so she can encourage you and be a part of that. If you're single and you want to do that because you're not in the Word of God, get with another friend. Make some decisions today that will take steps into being obedient to those things. Be prayerful about these things. Commit to these things. What steps will you take in response to God's call upon your life and my life to be ambassadors today that's different than when you walked into this space? Secondly, I would say this. This is all predicated on two things that I need to close with. The first is this. If you don't know that for your sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, that you might be the righteousness of God, then this will just be duty for you. Did you hear that? Like, church, rest in hearing what he says. For our sake, he made Jesus to be sin when Jesus didn't know any sin, so that in Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. Every calling to being ambassadors comes out of that truth. And if you haven't come to that, then that's not your call. You're not, there's only two different type of people. There's unreconciled people and reconciled people. And you have to be reconciled first. And so first I would say this, if you haven't caught that vision and you don't understand that, then you need to hear the appeal that Paul would make, the appeal that I would make to you this morning. Be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God, because without it, you are outside of his kingdom and you are not a new creation yet. And so I would encourage you this morning to be reconciled to God. That's what we celebrate when we take communion, isn't it? That we've been reconciled by the blood of Jesus Christ. So church, as we come to this moment, I want you to go ahead and take out your communion. And if you don't have one of these when you came in, go ahead and raise your hand. We've got a team that'll bring them out to you. But as we take of this bread and of this juice, we're reminded that we've been reconciled to God at a high price. We have been reconciled because Jesus was willing to step into the conflict of our sin and into the conflict between us and the Father, and to take our sin upon his shoulders. Church, your sin deserved condemnation. His body broken for you reminds us of that, doesn't it? So we don't take sin lightly. And so church, take just a moment to just lay your sin, to confess your sin before the Lord. Lord, may we be broken over our sin, because you were broken because of our sin. And may we rest in your grace and your mercy for us this morning. Church, take of this bread and be reminded of the body of Christ that's broken for you. And church, take of this cup and be reminded of the blood of Christ that was spilled for you. As we close in song, I want to just invite us to a moment of response. And here's what I would ask. If you're a prayer counselor, elder, pastor, would you go ahead and come up to the front right now? I want to encourage you that as we sing this song, if the Lord has called it upon your heart to make a response to the Lord, to come to faith in him, to be reconciled to God because you recognize that you're not, and you want to talk with someone, we want to be here to pray for you this morning. If you have a need, we want to be here to pray for you. If you have a struggle, we want to be here to pray for you. Don't walk the Christian life alone. You're not supposed to. And I want to do something a little bit unorthodox, because I was actually just thinking of what we're to be praying for in this week to come, which is to pray for justice for those marginalized. I was reminded last night of how hard that can be, and yet how beautiful it can be. And I want to just call, hey, Dave, would you come up to the front too? Dave and Irene's up here as a prayer warrior, here to pray. I just, during this response time, I want to pray for their family, because they're ones that have stepped into the lives of the marginalized. They've stepped into foster care, and I know many of you had, and so if you're struggling too, come down, we want to pray for you. But I know that they've had a rough week, and we want to come alongside of them as our brothers and sister. And we're going to pray over them during this time. And so maybe a couple of us can gather around Irene and David. And if you want to respond as well this morning, I'd invite you to do that for prayer. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for your calling for us as ambassadors. And I pray, Father God, that you would stir our hearts to be the people you've called us to be reconciled to you, to die to our own causes and our own desires and our own intents, but Father, that we would reflect you, that we would reflect your heart, that we would reflect to this world who you are, that you might make an appeal through us. But we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We pray and ask all these things in your name. Amen.